It's Friday, the 12th of April. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and I'm backing an outsider each way. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review, where we've got the papers lined up for the race. The Mail is hobbled by the weight of wokery. The Times is distracted by its riders' gorgeous silks. The Guardian is having a lazy girl day. So let's put the house on the Daily Star, which has used racing boffins to train up its holiday donkey. We love all our listeners, and we know you love us too. So why not tell the world, well, just three of your friends, by sending them a message with a link to papercutshow.co.uk and tell them why you like the show. You could mention John Elledge's in-depth knowledge of David Schwimmer's oeuvre, which will become apparent during this show.
Oh, way to put the pressure on.
Anyway, let's see if they subscribe. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Straight to hell, O.J. Simpson has died of prostate cancer.
Hey!
What's the story? How many of Joe Lycett's made-up stories have featured in Paper Cuts? And Ticket to Ride. It's the Grand National tomorrow, and the papers are loving it. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers, so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we've got a hot take on a cold case. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is writer for The New Statesman and man with an actual new book in the shops. It's John Elledge. Hi, John. What's the name of your book?
Hello. It's out early. It's called The History of the World in 47 Borders, and you can literally walk into a shop and buy it, and please do.
Way!
It's on, like, the big tables in the Waterstones in Piccadilly. It's so exciting.
So exciting. And making his debut on the show is comedian and man with an actual new comedy special. On Next Up, it's Alistair Barry. Alistair, what's your new comedy special?
It's called Woke in Progress, and I'm quite annoyed I didn't bring in an actual physical copy of it to wave to camera. And it's nowhere near Waterstones, but it's on Next Up Comedy, and came out last week.
Woo! Woo! Okay, so what have we got on the front pages today? John, what do you have?
So The Eye is going big with an interview with Keir Starmer. It says, Starmer, Labour will hike UK defence spending amid threat from China and Russia.
Well, that certainly grabbed me.
That's the whole show. We're not talking about anything else. Over in The Times, consultants accused of covering up fatal flaws. The Guardian has a lovely picture of O.J. Simpson from, I assume, 1995. But above that, Labour warned over loss of urban seats in election, which if you actually look at the data, it's not.
Fine.
Shocking. Okay. They might not win Brighton Pavilion, which they already don't hold.
Yes, so, they don't. That's green. Always.
Yeah. And finally, the Telegraph has an even bigger picture of O.J. Simpson wearing the gloves.
Yeah, the gloves not fitting.
Next to that is an amazing story we are sadly not talking about. Border Force to blame for fake stamps. It's the most day-to-day headline, isn't it?
It's just on another planet. Okay. So what do you have, Alistair? You have the fun papers.
Oh, I get the fun papers. I've got the Daily Mail, who have gone with their exclusive, despite it being in other papers. Starmer, UK nuclear deterrent is safe in my hands, which they sound angry about, despite it being actually what they want, which is pretty much on message for the Mail. Then we've got, obviously, the Mirror has gone with infamous OJ dead at 76. There we go. And I mean, one of the few times you've actually felt well disposed towards prostate cancer. and then the Sun, obviously, the Sun have gone slightly more direct. Good riddance, although above it, long-time double murder accuser Caitlyn Jenner says good riddance. There's a lot about Caitlyn Jenner not liking him, which is obviously, you know, normally they'd attack trans people, but if they don't like O.J. Simpson, it's okay.
Yep.
And if they holidayed with him regularly, even better. And then finally, much more important, I think we can all agree, the finest paper available, the Daily Star. Slightly long odds, but Daily Star to win Grand National. In no way encumbered by the fact they don't actually have a horse. So it's an exciting read, and I've been doing a pretty deep dive into that.
Yes, we'll return to that one. It is excellent. Okay, look, shall we quickly look at The Eye's interview with Keir Starmer? John, I know you've read it. Thank you very much. So could you give us a quick summary?
How long have we got? An hour or two?
Just a quick one.
Okay, so he's basically given the same interview to both The Eye and The Mail, both of whom are owned by the Daily Mail Group. Which is making people speculate that maybe he's been having a chat with the Rovermere family. He is promising to increase defence spending to 2.5% of GDP, so long as it's within his fiscal rules, inevitably. That's kind of what NATO is pushing towards at the moment. It's basically about everyone being scared of the war in Ukraine. The other exciting point in there is that he really likes nukes. He loves nukes. so much so that he's made up a whole new triple lock for them. Which the existing triple lock obviously is about pensions.
Yeah.
This one, I think, as is so often the way with sequels, I don't think it's going to be such a big hit. The triple lock here is there will be four new nuclear submarines to be built at Barrow, promising the retention of the continuous at-sea deterrent. He's bangs on about procurement waste, but that's very boring.
It's all boring, except I'd just like to talk about Barrow. I know Barrow. My gran lived in Barrow and we used to go on holidays in Barrow. It is very dismal there. So maybe they will be happy that they're going to build some.
I mean, it is a defence policy and an industrial policy at once, clearly. Yeah. And it is kind of part of this sort of shift back to like, oh shit, maybe the world isn't quite as safe as we've all been assuming it is for the last eight decades, which is terrifying.
It's interesting that one of the few things that Britain is good at is making arms. So we're going back to that.
But it is a growth industry.
Oh, yes, that's true.
That's what Barrow needs as well, because Barrow was a little survey a little while ago to find out that Barrow is the most depressing place in the UK.
Yeah.
And the UK, I don't know if you saw the survey a couple of weeks ago that said that the UK is now the second most miserable nation in the world. And there was a kind of
who's
mixed...
Who's beating us?
Well, this is the thing. There was a mixed response between people going, yay, and a lot of people going, fuck you, Uzbekistan. So, you know, Barrow's one of our... Because the most smiling place in Britain is Bristol, which is clearly letting the side down. So I think what they need to do is maybe build some nuclear submarines in Bristol. They've got a river. Go for it.
Yeah, that's true. Now, on most of the front pages is the news of the death of O.J. Simpson, multi-awarded NFL player and actor who was accused and acquitted of the murder of the mother of two of his kids, Nicole Brown, and her friend Ron Goldman in 1994. He died of prostate cancer, aged 76 on Wednesday. So, John, how are the papers covering O.J.'s death?
I think a thing you need to know before I get into some individual headlines is that libel law does not apply to the dead.
Good. Good.
You can say what you like about someone who is dead because you can't besmirch their reputation once they're dead.
I can't believe you're going to have a go at his ex-wife as well.
So O.J. Simpson was the subject of the trial of the century in the 1990s. He was an NFL football player and actor who was accused of murdering his ex-wife and mother of his children and a friend of hers and got away with it in this incredibly high-profile trial. So the Telegraph has gone, O.J. Simpson died without penance, says family of victim. The Sun has last days shamed O.J. Simpson, spent final years shunned by A-list powers and playing lonely rounds of golf inside guarded Vegas mansion. The Mail has O.J. Simpson died owing more than $100 million to families of murder victims as they pledged to go after late NFL star's estate. That's the $33.5 million liability after he lost a civil trial in 1997, plus 27 years of interest. The interesting thing about this story, though, is that the Mail has actually interviewed Ron Goldman's father, Fred. Here's a quote. His death is a reminder that Ron and Nicole were murdered by him. I am not going to react to my thoughts about him dying. I have nothing to say about him.
Yeah, so the thing about O.J. Simpson is that there was a kind of huge trial, a criminal trial in which he was acquitted. And then 3 years later, there was a civil trial, which he was found liable for the murder. So that's why they're still chasing him for the money.
And he never paid.
He never paid it. He never paid it at all.
Which is probably not the worst thing he did, but...
I think we should talk a little bit about the criminal trial. Right, because that is really why we're talking about him at all, I think. You know, otherwise he would just have been an NFL player who was an actor, fine. It's the trial of the murder that made him famous, isn't it?
It is. So, like, I mean, there was a weird thing where, like, I don't think people in this country realised how famous he was until he was on trial for murder. He'd been like this kind of superstar in the NFL, National Football League. Then he'd gone on to an acting career. He's apparently does a lot of practice. Stick in apparently does a lot of pratfalls in the Naked Gun films.
Yeah, Naked Gun, I remember him.
Yeah, he's good at that. Yeah, but we didn't realise he was famous in this. I mean, it'd be like if George Best suddenly started appearing in Carry On movies and then murdered his wife in America, they'd be going, what? Yeah.
Exactly like that. But I think he was also kind of seen as this sort of post-racial icon in that, like, you know, he was an African-American football player that white Americans loved. Like, there's a famous quote from him, just like, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
Yeah.
So it meant that when you got to the trial, there is this sort of massive division. How people felt about whether he did it or not kind of was determined as much by their views on racial politics as it was by the evidence, I think. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. So the jury was a mostly black jury, and they didn't take very long in order before they found him not guilty, because essentially the LAPD were known to be racist and to plant evidence, and there was some idea that this might have happened in this case.
Yeah, and that's why he didn't go down, right? Because, like, basically, like, I think there's a moment where, like, one of the police detectives refuses to answer the question as to whether he planted evidence.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it was this massive media moment that kind of, like, you know, it became this sort of point of discussion for, like, all sorts of issues in modern America about, like, you know, race and domestic violence. And also, within the last 10 years, it was a season on a program called American Crime Story. Mm. With David Schwimmer playing the part of lawyer Robert Kardashian.
I think we should. Should we just say who Robert Kardashian is? Because obviously he's the parent of Kim Kardashian and all the other Kardashians.
So it's an absolutely amazing performance, because firstly, he keeps referring to OJ as the juice or talking to his kids about Uncle Juice, which is just playing him as Ross from Friends, by the way. He's just Ross from Friends with white streakers. And occasionally, like during the incredibly slow car chase, that was this important moment in this case. It keeps cutting back to these kids watching it on television, and you're thinking, that's meant to be Kim Kardashian. It's an amazing piece of television.
It is. It's a very strange case, isn't it, OJ?
Well, you've got the thing as well you say about the sort of post-racial idea, and there's actually some brilliant photos of OJ and the family on holiday with the Jenners.
Mm.
And it's not post-racial. There's definitely only one black person in that photo, and it's OJ just sort of grinning out like a celebrity. But because the Bronco car chase, I remember seeing it, it was kind of picked up over here on it was the start of rolling news. We weren't there yet, but it was, you know, we're used to car chases where there's an actual chase, whereas there was just a film of this white Bronco going within the speed limit.
Yeah,
and everyone
very strange.
Kind of going, well, what's, and you could see him, and it was like, well, what is this?
Yeah.
And then it grew into this. I still remember watching the verdict, and it was a kind of, I mean, imagine what it would have been like if Twitter was around then. Because it was so huge then. It's almost like a Diana moment or a JFK, where were you when? But as you say, it became so much more about American racial politics than it did about, you know, his wife.
And also, I mean, they were divorced. So she and OJ were divorced.
Yeah.
There was a history of domestic violence. She'd phoned up a battered women's refuge 5 days before. But a lot of the evidence around him beating her up was not allowed in the trial. So Ron Goldman was actually just somebody who worked in a restaurant, and she had left her glasses, and he was taking the glasses back to her house, and so he just happened to be there.
And everyone remembers the gloves, which, looking at the front pages, the gloves look like they fit better in 2024 than they did in 1995 for some reason.
Exactly. The gloves, so one of the gloves was found at the scene, one of the gloves was found in his car. They had blood on them. There was forensic evidence. But the lawyer for him said, if it doesn't fit, meaning the gloves, you must acquit. And basically all OJ did was, you know that thing where you put your hands in the gloves and you kind of stretch your hands out a little bit?
Yeah.
And it was like, they don't
fit. Like my four-year-old when he's complaining they're not right.
Yeah.
But it was also because, was it Johnny Cochran? Was that the was that the lawyer? Because he was as much a sort of celeb in a way as OJ, and was very happy to sort of do stuff like that and kind of take the credit and become this massive figure and play the race card massively, as opposed to, you know, did he murder her? I think most people would go.
But yeah, I mean, Simpson spent the next nearly 30 years kind of playing on the idea that he might have done it.
Including writing a book called
If I Did It.
Yeah. I mean, like,
that's next to yours in Waterstones at the moment.
I haven't noticed him on the big table. I mean, they probably are going to reprint it now, aren't they?
Yeah. So, and after he wrote this book, which I did remember reading, but actually stopped reading because it was a bit awful, but the family sued him for the royalties of the book, because, of course, he still hadn't paid them any money. And so they now get the royalties. So maybe we should all buy
it. Oh, yeah, maybe go out and buy the terrible book.
Mm.
And my good book.
Beautifully
buy yours
done. First.
Yes.
Now, comedian Joe Lycett is famous for many things, including pranks. And he has recently confessed to pranking the papers. And by extension, paper cuts. By planting silly made-up stories to see which ones would make it into the press. So, Alistair, he seems to have revealed a couple of fake stories. Which ones has he confessed to so far?
Well, it's kind of Joe's modus operandi at the moment, isn't it? Sort of dropping things in like he did with the Beckham cash and did he, didn't he? And yeah. Everyone was going, you can't do that. And then he obviously revealed that he hadn't done that. The stories that he hasn't actually said yet, because obviously he's got a TV show to sell. But the show, the ones that people suspect are made up are the, I don't know if you're the Alan Titchmarsh pixelated trousers in Korea story.
Oh, shit, we talked about that.
We did talk about that, but it's such an excellent story.
I want it to be true. Even Alan, to be fair to you, even Alan Titchmarsh talked about it. So yeah. He was on the radio going, I'm not normally a scandalous man, but, and I mean, this is also, it's in North Korea. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of was it Kim Jong-un's round of golf, which he managed to complete in 47 shots, which is a world record by about 47 shots. So, you know, when it comes to fake news in North Korea, I think we're on safe ground. Although apparently the BBC have verified that story. So you are in good company in paper cuts.
But if they just verified it by calling Alan Titchmarsh, and Alan Titchmarsh was in on the joke. That doesn't quite work. Anyway, we don't know.
But at the same time, it was still a good reason for the Daily Mail to call for the licence fee to be revoked. Then what else is there? If anyone can see the visual of it, there's some statue stories that look like they may be. There's one that Paul McCartney has refused permission for a statue of himself to go up because it's so bad. And the picture, I mean, it makes Ronaldo's statue in the Portuguese airport look a positively flattering portrait.
It looks like it's made out of cake.
It looks like it's made out of cake. It looks worryingly similar to his spitting image picture. Yeah. And you know, because he's always had that slightly droopy face and that, you know, any good caricature takes things to the nth degree. So I would have sympathy with Paul McCartney if it was true, but it probably isn't, although it might be more true than the other story, which is that H from Steps is definitely having a statue in Cowbridge, which is because he's from the Rhondda, or as Rishi Sunak knows it, Louise. And they have, there's a story that H is going to have a statue, and then it looks like Cowbridge County Council said apparently no planning permission has been received. So
once again, we
will be let down by the truth.
Yes, I mean the H from Steps statue really does look like the Ronaldo one. It looks like that somebody might have typed in H from Steps as Ronaldo statue for the picture. So there's no planning application.
There's one other that I can't believe that this is true, but obviously the rumour mill has gone into overdrive, as it always does, that the Glasgow Wonka might be a Lycett.
That can't be.
No,
that
had to be real. No, I can't believe that is. I mean, it's got. If it is Joe, I mean, Joe's a friend of mine and he's an amazing comic, but if that was him, then he has reached a whole new plateau of achievement, because that was quite the story, and I will definitely be taking my children.
I mean, this does feel like... It is quite easy to game the papers these days. If you just, like, pretend something is a survey. Like, so often if you kind of read about these sort of fairly gratuitous surveys, they've been conducted to promote a brand.
What? I'm shocked.
Yeah. And it just kind of feels like... I have some sympathy with, like, Britain's hard-pressed journalists, as you know, one of them. because basically, like, everyone's... Like, newspapers don't have... they have a fraction of the resources they had decades ago. Nobody has time to do any fact-checking. You have to produce umpteen stories a day. So shit like this is going to get through.
It's not even column inches, is it? It's literally pixels, because, I mean, like, if you have any friends of any level of celebrity, like my friend Paul Sinner, who's one of the Chaser, and I mean, literally anything he says, he avoids tabloids like mad, but then suddenly it appears on the Mail as, you know, this has happened, and he's going, I tweeted something about going to the shops.
Yeah.
And
but it's because people will click that. There will be people with Google searches for Paul Sinner, which is creepy, potentially, but those will exist.
How do you know my history?
But also, because as we know, for doing this show, like, you know, there's a lot of very dark headlines. There's a lot of dark news out there. So if you were offered the story of a woman finding a baby hedgehog and it turning out to be the pom-pom on a hat, you're going to go, this is great. How lovely.
There's a reason we all love the bloody Daily Star.
Yeah, exactly.
But, is it lovely? If you were the hedgehog, it would be pretty traumatic, wouldn't it?
If it was
a
traumatic
hedgehog. But it wasn't a hedgehog.
Okay. No one got harmed.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, I'd believed it.
The bubble had a lovely time. It was given a saucer of warm milk. It had a nice evening.
Very well. It's that old story the Mail ran, isn't it, about the woman who saw burglars in her shed and phoned the police, and they said, we haven't got the resources. And so she phoned back a minute later and went, it's all right, I've shot them. At which point, five police cars and a police helicopter turned up, and the inspector said, I thought you said you'd shot them. And she said, I thought you said you didn't have anyone available.
Nice, I like that. So I'm hoping for more of the hedgehog pom-pom stroke H statue stories. I mean, that's what we live for here, isn't it, really?
You get so annoyed when we have actual news to talk about. Increasingly so, the longer we've done the show.
Boa constrictor mistaken for genuine boa.
Yes, exactly.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch, We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, it's time for the greatest headline competition run by a daily podcast the world has ever known. Yes, it's time for Fix the Headline, where we find a headline in the papers that isn't doing its proper punny, funny job. And then we get you, our lovely Papercuts listeners, to send it a better one. And this week, we have a story from the Daily Mail. Boffins from the University of Illinois have found that if you want to stay out of jail, you need to hire an attractive lawyer. Their headline...
Can anyone remember what O.J. Simpson's lawyer looked like?
I can remember Johnny Depp. Their headline, want to win your case? Get a beautiful barrister, which is just so boring. Anyway, we know you can do better. Send in your ideas to @PaperCutsShow on X or Threads with the hashtag FixTheHeadline, and we'll read out the best ones on Monday. And the very best will win a Papercuts T-shirt. Oh, yes. Okay, so what about today, John? Have you got any good ones?
So unusually, I've got one from the Mirror, which is always exciting. Mm. A new mum says her baby really is born to ride after joining her motorbike mad family in a shock delivery at a motocross track. Shannon Watson, 17, was stunned when Jackson arrived during the event on Sunday, as was her mum, who did not know she was pregnant. Oh, right, so she's literally giving birth. Right, okay.
I was really confused.
This is a confusingly written story, I would say. But yeah, so basically, someone was riding a motorbike and went into labour. Okay. The headline is, Little Racer.
Okay. That's all right.
Over in the Sun, Vinnie Jones is seen with his new girlfriend for the first time since it was revealed they had struck up a romance. The footballer turned actor, 59, and Emma Ford, 47, were pictured heading for dinner. This is one of those stories where they've literally just got a picture and then just come up with some guff. And the headline, he's Vin Love again.
Oh, yes.
That's sweet.
Yes.
We'll give it sweet.
Stolen from an article about Vin Diesel, apparently.
Lastly from me, a girls under 14 football team have triumphed in an otherwise all-boys grassroots league. Mm. You can already feel the movie rights.
Yeah.
Unbeaten Concord Rangers Yellows have 31 points from 11 games this season. They finished mid-table in their first campaign, but have been trouncing their male rivals this season with 2 13-0s and a 14-2 in their 10 league wins. The headline is Golden Girls.
Yay.
Golden Girls.
Oh, even better.
Nice. So, Alistair, you've got the star, right?
I've got the lucky one here. I've got a couple. I think that we can all agree that the Brits, with our growing and burgeoning food culture, which has improved massively over the years, but what we've done always is taken dishes and brought them in and given them our own little twist, like, you know, chicken tikka masala and added ketchup, which was obviously huge on the Indian subcontinent. And this is about the Italians are saying that Brits are ruining the original recipe of spaghetti bolognese. We're putting too many ingredients in the dish. Mm. Don't get me started on carbonara. That's a whole different one. But this is where it goes. This is proper style, and it's spag bowls up.
That's good. I think
I think we can go with that. That's all right. And then this one, which I particularly like, is because I like it more than anything else because of the first paragraph of the actual article. It says, "There's hope for brainless Dominic Raab as as boffins have created brain cells in a petri dish." As though that's somehow a solution to the fact that he rose to one of the great offices of state. And again, a beautiful set of Minister Lab Brain Hope. And what they've gone with is Lucky Rabbit.
So tenuous.
It's massively tenuous, isn't it?
I just love the fact that, like, this is an interesting science story and they've just seen an opportunity to attack Dominic Raab and they've taken it.
And who wouldn't?
Now, all over the Star, and in several of the posh papers too, is the build-up to tomorrow's once-every-year horse race, the Grand National. Before we start on this, we obviously aren't celebrating the fact that several horses every year are injured because of the race and have to be put down. But we would like to have a look at it in the way that the papers do. So let's turn to the Star. Alistair, what is going on there?
Oh, it's all over the place on the Star. I mean, I'm going to give you some proper tips here and make myself very valuable to the listeners because, as I said with the headlines, the Daily Star is planning to win the Grand National. the thing is, their man, Jerry, who I wasn't aware of his oeuvre previously, but Jerry Lawson, apparently, is he's been coached by two-time national winner Ruby Walsh, and they've been training him on, I'm going to pronounce this wrongly, they've been training him on their mechanical horse, the Equisizer, which I believe is a kind of, that's up there with the puns, a combination of equine, exercise, and the Equalizer, I would imagine, as well. Five top tips to win. These will stand you all in good stead. Hold on tight is one. I think we can all agree. This is classic. This is number two, make sure you're sat in the saddle. Let's be fair, a lot of the jockeys forget that one. Three, don't close your eyes. Four, check your ride has four legs. And five, bring sugar lumps. I mean, it goes a bit downhill towards the end. But the big tip, apparently, and this is where I'm going to help everyone out. The big tip is that you need a jockey in green silks and a horse with R in its name.
And this is because they've done research winners.
Yeah, research of the winners. So cross-referencing, I found a few things with green silks. There's only three horses with green silks and names even containing an R.
Okay.
And they are Chemical Energy, Limerick Lace, and Meeting of the Waters, which essentially sounds like a day out in Liverpool anyway, but a Chemical Energy, few Irish people, and everyone get hammered at the bar. But Chemical Energy is pretty... I'm going for Chemical Energy. I think that's the one I would like to go for, 12 to 1. Although there is an outsider, and everyone loves an outsider, the sort of Devon Locke thing, isn't it? So, and that is... at 100 to 1 is éclat de rire, which is French for having a laugh. And I think that's that's quite nice. And then just finally one lovely bit of Star punning. The bookies are in trouble because apparently Carrack Rambler, which won last year, may win again, and or it's going to win a second in a row. And they've gone for Carracknophobia.
Ah, that's very nice. Good. That's nice. So obviously, how I pick a Grand National winner is like in the dinky outfits. Mm. So you go for either name or you go for the dinky outfits, which I like to think of as cute little bomber jackets and caps.
So are you referring to jockey's gear as dinky outfits?
Dinky little outfits. Yeah.
On dinky little men, let's be honest.
Is this not problematic in some way?
No, it's not, because what I look at is I look at their style and then I judge them on the style, and that's the one that I go for. And I found one that I completely appreciate. Its name is Late Night Pass, which is all right. It's 25 to 1, but it's got quite a Britpop feel. To be honest, it's in white with a deep red V and a white cap, and I would wear that.
I feel like there was probably a Blur video of some.
Definitely, I mean, all of it does. The whole thing does it now. It does look like a Blur video. I mean, Damon Ormond could wear pretty much any jockey silk, and you go, that's absolutely fine. But I do like the idea that you would be going wearing Late Night Pass with Chemical Energy. I think that could be quite.
These
fun.
These are my two bets, I think. But there's also in the Mail the traditional pictures of dressed to the nines Scouse women on the lash, which is another point of the Grand National, isn't it?
Completely.
These are the pictures that we
This is the coverage I'm interested in.
Exactly.
To be fair, it is the Grand National.
Oh, that sounds bad now I've said it out loud, doesn't it?
To be fair, it is kind of the point of every weekend in Liverpool as well as the Grand National weekend.
Yeah, it's great. So they have lots of pictures of basically women dressed to the nines having an absolutely fantastic time. In the Mail, they're slightly moaning because they said that the cost of the booze has gone up and this is really terrible. The punters clearly don't care. There's an absolutely amazing picture in the Mail online, right? So they're concentrating on a lot of ladies in pink because they think Barbie theme. So they've got a picture of a woman in pink. She looks quite nice. But behind her, they have missed this shot of another woman who is basically dressed in a silver dress, but she's put a silver globe light shade over her head.
Are you sure that's not part of the outfit?
It looks really like it might be.
Or that she's not a member of Daft Punk.
Yeah. She is. She's a sexy member of Daft Punk.
Fascinating.
All members of
right
Daft Punk are sexy members of Daft Punk.
It's absolutely brilliant.
To be honest, we could all put on helmets and be sexy members of anything, couldn't we, really?
I think I'd probably get less sexy with a helmet on, actually.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to John.
Did you know my book has actually been pixelated in North Korea?
I'm going to text Joe Lyson and find out if that's true.
And thanks to Alistair.
Thank you.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show with no ads and a special extra story, then why not join the Papercut Supporters Club? Go to back.papercutshow.com. The link is in the show notes. And all our supporters get a special shout out.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's ahoy there, me hearty, and thar she blows to Kevin Allsop.
Well, I'm going to have to try and improve on that, which is going to be difficult. It's aye aye, Captain, and don't be a landlubber to Mark Varan with apologies.
It's all hands on the poop deck and shiver me timbers to Paul Smith. I've been Miranda Sawyer and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when The Sun reveals that the Royal Navy has announced that new recruits don't have to know how to swim. We should tell the village people. Macho men to the front. See you on Monday.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with John Elledge and Alistair Barry. The producer was Liam Tate, assistant producer was Adam Wright, and audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Music is by Simon Williams, socials by Kieran Leslie, design by Jim Parrott, and original art by Modern Toss. The executive producer is Martin Boytosh, managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, and group editor is Andrew Harrison. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.